We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the program our friend Mike Giardi from the NFL Network because, well, there's a big game this weekend. Hi there, Mike.
How are you, Rich?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Mike, did you imagine back in, mid to late August, given all the challenges, that we would actually get to this point in the season?
Nope. I was incredibly pessimistic throughout the offseason and into the abbreviated training camp that we'd be able to get to this point. I figured, you know, at the very least, there were going to be, you know, major shutdowns along the way. And look, there were clearly some issues that they went through over the course of the year, and maybe some people felt like it wasn't entirely fair at times because of how they sort of made sure that the games were happening every week. But I think anybody who thought this season was going to be fair and balanced in the middle of a pandemic was crazy. And the fact that we are at this point is pretty amazing to me.
Yeah, and we've got a very interesting matchup here between, I've framed often as past and present, but a guy who's won 6 Super Bowls and cruises to his 10th championship game certainly can't be thought of in the past. Is the quarterback matchup that's getting so much of the attention, do you think, going to be the key matatchup in the game?
You know, this is probably not the answer that you or that people want to hear, but I'm all about what's going to happen up front. I think when I look at how Tampa Bay can impact Mahomes, who's so great against everything, blitz, if he's standing there and he's got time, he just eats everything up. There's nothing that he doesn't do well. If they can manage to get pressure on him with 4 guys, then I think that would be huge for sort of the way Tampa Bay needs to stay in this game. And you look at the fact that Kansas City's both their starting tackles aren't going to be playing in this game. Their left and right tackles, I think that's pretty massive considering the 2 best players in the front 4 for Tampa are the 2 outside guys, Jason Paul-Pierre and Shaq Barrett. So that to me is as an intriguing a matchup as there is in this entire thing. And if you know, Tampa Bay has a shot of slowing Mahomes down and keeping them, I don't know, in the high 20s, because that's probably about as best you can do against them, then that's how it's going to have to happen.
Well, when you talk about Kansas City and their offense, so much of it is geared on that RPO, the run-pass option. Who's key for Tampa Bay in containing that?
Well, I think, again, in some ways, Tampa Bay is built for this. They have 2 terrific linebackers, Lavonte David and Devin White. White has been all over the place in year 2, especially in the last 4 or 5 weeks, making, you know, 15, 16 tackles a game. And to have guys that are that smart but also that athletically gifted, I mean, White runs like a 4.5. I mean, that's pretty absurd for someone who's 235, 240 pounds. So that is certainly, I think, a big part of it. I just look at, too, what Tampa's going to have to do is, I think Travis Kelce is going to catch passes. I think that's what happens. I think what they have to do is they have to make sure, I don't know that you can take Tyreek Hill out of the game, but I don't think they can let Tyreek Hill go off. And obviously in their first meeting, Tyreek Hill went bananas. I think he had 220 yards, you know, halfway through the second quarter. It was something, you know, just insane. And that's just something that can't happen. They got to get in his face. They got to jam him. They got to have help over the top. And they got to force Mahomes to try to beat them. If you want to nickel and dime us with Kelce underneath, go ahead. Or, you know, hey, let's push you over to Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman and some of those other guys. And, you know, if they're good enough to beat us consistently and do it for 60 minutes, then we'll just have to tip our cap to you and say, you know, you're the better team.
We're talking with Mike Giardi here on Downtown. As far as Kansas City goes defensively, we know that Steve Spagnuolo likes to put the pressure on and play aggressively. How do you think Tom Brady will respond to that?
Well, he's not been good against the blitz this year at all. I think of the 32 starting quarterbacks, I think he's qualified 30th against the blitz this year. So I think what you're going to see a lot of in this game is a lot of Brady getting to the line of scrimmage, a lot of dummy calls to try to get Kansas City to show their hand. I think there's going to be a lot of times where the play clock is going down to, you know, 3-2-1 because he's trying to wait until the last possible second to sort of identify where that pressure is going to come from, because I believe that's just in Spags' DNA. I think that's how they've done it. That's how they're going to continue to do it. I don't think he necessarily cares so much about you piling up a ton of yards against them. I think he wants negative plays. I think he wants a negative play every 3 or 4 downs. and you know he believes he's going to do that, he's going to have to pressure Brady. So I think that's going to be, you know, an interesting chess match as well. Can Brady, you know, he'll probably be forced into a couple mistakes, and I don't necessarily mean turnovers, just bad reads, because you know you've got to get rid of it quickly, and you're not really sure, you know, what your hot receiver is. And I think we've seen it times this year, which is why I kind of believe Brady when he says next year will be better for this offense. I think we've seen times this year where his guys haven't been on the same page, where he hasn't been able to kind of communicate exactly what he wants from them and in certain looks in certain situations. So that'll be a key relationship as well. Do these guys, are they seeing it the same way he is? You know, Godwin and Evans, Cameron Brate, those types, are they seeing the game the same way that Tom is? Because if they are, then, you know, that will help mitigate some of the problems they've had against the blitz. But again, for the better part of 17 weeks in the postseason, that's been an issue for them.
Do you think either team can generate a running game, or will they even attempt to get a consistent running game going?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, I mean, I would be, again, if I'm Tampa, I'm almost inviting you to run. And I think we've seen teams take that approach in the past. We saw Belichick do it a million times with the Indianapolis Colts, sort of, hey, we don't want Peyton to be throwing the ball all day. Like, you can run Edwin James between the 20s, and then we'll tighten up, and maybe we force you to kick a field goal where we get that, you know, the big turnover, as opposed to you scoring touchdowns and, you know, striking quick on us. And I think that's a plan that teams have adopted, you know, now when they face Kansas City. Buffalo did it, in particular during the regular season game, and I think Kansas City ran for 243 yards or something like that. But it was almost more like a slow death of the paper cuts versus that, you know, the 75-yard bombs, and all of a sudden you're just reeling because they can strike and strike so quickly. We've seen them do over and over again. Again, I'll bring up the Patriots, the 2018 AFC title game. The Patriots are in control of that game, or so you think, and then I think it was 3 minutes and 14 seconds, I think, Kansas City scored 21 points. It can happen that fast with that group.
Can we learn anything from the Week 12 game when they played?
I think if we can learn anything from that game is that we're learning that Tampa Bay is probably going to take that defensive game plan and burn it and throw it out and come up with something completely different, because, you know, it ended up as a close game in the final score, but if you watched it, it wasn't close at all, and there was a play, Mecole Hardman dropped what should have been like a 90-yard touchdown catch. He was literally 10 yards behind everyone else. That would have blown the game open even more. So I just think that the way they played in that game, defensively, just they can't afford to have that same approach. And Todd Bowles is someone who likes to be aggressive and likes to blitz. I'm curious to see what sort of modifications they make here going against Mahomes. I think the other thing we learned, and I think we've learned from watching Kansas City now for the better part of, 3 years with Mahomes, is you can't dig yourself a hole. You know, to be down two scores, to be down, you know, whether 10-0, 14-3, whatever it is, you just don't want to be in that spot, because it just plays into their hands so much, both offensively and defensively.
Some marquee names, obviously, in this game, but in many of the last 54 Super Bowls, it's been somebody other than a big name who turned out to be the difference maker. Who's a guy or two that could end up being an unsung hero for one of these teams?
Well, Frank Clark is, for Kansas City, a defensive lineman, is considered a sort of a star. At least he's paid that way, and he's had some big moments. He was great in the playoffs last year. I look at him as someone who, you know, maybe he's the, you know, the Brandon Graham type in the Eagles Super Bowl against the Patriots with the front side strip of Brady on that final drive when the Patriots, you know, were within a touchdown of that game. I sort of see his ability to win one-on-one, and again, for them, maybe also to be able to generate pressure with four. Chris Jones is a monster inside as well, kind of sort of took control of that Super Bowl game last year in the second half against Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. So I look at some of those guys. Again, they're not the sexiest names, but they're really good football players inside that they can do a lot of damage against Brady.
Mike, do you think there's any chance that if Tampa Bay wins this game that Tom Brady walks away?
I don't. I think I don't want to say it's a rebirth, because obviously they just, you know, 2 years removed from winning a Super Bowl with the Patriots, and now he's back with Tampa Bay. But I think the energy that he's found playing there, the joy that he's found playing in a different environment than the one obviously that he was year four, and we know it's a hard place to play, and there's not a person that comes out of there that doesn't say that. But I think this is different, and this is refreshing to him. I think it's sort of given him a little bit more life. But he was talking earlier this week about playing past 45. Now I don't know if the body can hold up. But the way we're not allowed to touch quarterbacks anymore, and the way he's maniacal about it, I mean, I'm not going to bet against him. I've done that a couple times, and it's turned out to be the wrong call. So I'm not about to go there again.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. Either way, come Sunday, Super Bowl 55. Mike, always good to talk with you. We appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, Rich. You too.
Mike Giardi from the NFL Network.